My beloved brothers and sisters, my thoughts today are centered in the concern we all share over a growing crisis in today's world, a sort of spreading cancer which continues to eat away at the family unit which has been ordained of God. Divorce, with all of its diabolic side effects, threatens the very foundations of our society. President Joseph F. Smith has observed that marriage is the preserver of the human race, and without it, the purposes of God would be frustrated. Virtue would be destroyed to give place to vice and corruption, and the earth would be void and empty. End quote. Each prophet of this dispensation has said essentially the same thing in his own way. According to data from the National Center for Health Statistics, nearly 2 million divorces are being granted this year in the United States. This is the highest ever recorded, and three times the number reported just 20 years ago. Most nations of the world seem to be following a similar trend, and today more than one out of every three marriages seems to be terminating in divorce. Families within the church, unfortunately, are following this world pattern to an alarming degree, and it should not be so. U.S. News and World Report recently quoted Herbert A. Gleiberman, a recognized authority on divorce and domestic relations, as follows, and I quote, "The biggest rise in the divorce rate has been among couples married 10 years or longer. It's not uncommon today for couples 25 and 30 years into their marriage to seek and obtain a divorce." He then identifies the main cause. Number one, he states, is the couple's inability to talk honestly with each other, to bare their souls, and treat each other as their best friend. They talk about superficial things in order to impress one another. And then he continues, I find that too many people talk right through each other rather than to each other. He concludes, this lack of communication brings on drinking, infidelity, or physical or mental abuse for many, and there's a lack of tolerance, an inability to bear discomfort or to recognize that they're not perfect and neither is their mate. Close quote. There is really only one way to ensure good family communication, and that is the Lord's way. He advocates the counsel method. The church is made up of councils. Certainly one of the most important of all the church councils must be the family council, presided over by the husband and the wife. In this council, parents should stand equally yoked together. Just as they are meant to share equally in every priesthood blessing that accrues to their family circle, through the eternities, the Lord's eternal objective for a married couple is that they become one. Next, the Lord instructs us to reason together. No arguing, no haranguing, no backbiting, but rather reasoning together with soft-spoken voices. What a great example for the children. How can a family go wrong if each major decision is carefully measured by gospel teachings? And then, after reasoning together, the decision could be made to move forward confidently and in harmony with divine law. The Savior taught the extra mile, which means unselfishness. By just going the extra mile, every marriage relationship could be successful. But an extra mile effort on just one side of the boat means imbalance, and a capsized marriage is likely. Unselfishness must come from both sides. Every couple, whether in the first or the 21st year of marriage, should discover the value of pillow talk time at the end of the day, the perfect time to take inventory, to talk about tomorrow, and best of all, it's a time when love and appreciation for one another can be reconfirmed. The end of another day is also the perfect setting to say, sweetheart, I am sorry about what happened today. Please forgive me. You see, we're all still imperfect, and unresolved, these differences allowed to accumulate day after day add up to a possible breakdown in the marital relationship, all for the want of better communication, and too often because of foolish pride. Now, the church has always taken a firm stand against dictatorships of any form. Any man who chooses to administer the office of his calling as a priesthood leader in the home by dictatorial methods is out of harmony with gospel teaching. He will not enjoy the spiritual rewards of reasoning together. His pillow talk will cease to be a two-way communication, and rebellion will usually follow. Dictators are always quick to issue an ultimatum, and in case you have not discovered it, an ultimatum to today's youth is almost guaranteed failure. It's the equivalent of waving a red flag. It's like declaring war on those you love. The Lord warns us that no power or influence can or ought to be maintained by virtue of the priesthood, only by persuasion, by long-suffering, by gentleness and meekness, and by love unfeigned, by kindness and pure knowledge, which shall greatly enlarge the soul without hypocrisy and without guile. I like the advice given by President Joseph F. Smith. He said this to fathers: "It is only when men depart from the right spirit, when they digress from their duty, that they will neglect or dishonor any soul that is committed to their care. They are bound to honor their wives and their children." There's yet another major cause for divorce that should not go unattended: the mismanagement of family financial resources. To pay tithes and offerings while ignoring the balance of Heavenly Father's advice concerning sound judgment in family finances will probably cause the windows of heaven to stick a little bit. The promised blessings will not likely be forthcoming as expected. Every prophet in this dispensation has taught in clear, unmistakable terms that the saint should stay out of debt. We heard it again this morning from President Kimball, that we should not participate in something-for-nothing schemes. That has been stressed today. He advises us to be frugal in saving and to earn our money the old-fashioned way, by the sweat of our face. We are admonished to teach our children the ethic of work. We've been encouraged at every turn to set the proper example of industry and thrift, and also to be generous and consistent in our offerings to the poor and the needy. During these days of a strained economy, it's imperative that the family live within these divine injunctions. Each husband and wife needs to reason together about the family budget on a regular basis. If downward adjustments need to be made in the family spending habits, it is far better to do what needs to be done now rather than build up to an impossible financial crisis later on, a crisis that too often leads to the divorce courts. Few things are as destructive in a marriage as the statement, "Sweetheart, I just signed up today for a $200 course at the local health spa." A well-planned health course may be just the thing, but not as a surprise addition to an already strained budget. This could have been and should have been a prime topic for pillow talk beforehand. As Elder Maxwell told it so well recently, if your companion is going to participate in a crash landing, then she should also help to file the flight plan. Now, quickly, just to mention three items as foundation stones to a secure marriage. First, faith. The first principle of the gospel, and it must be the first principle of your marriage. Not only faith in God and in His beloved Son, not only in the living prophet, but may I also suggest a sincere and ever-growing faith in each other, and also in your children. Second, obedience, often referred to as the first law of heaven. Without obedience to God's law, there could be no blessings. Obedience to our covenants with the Lord are forerunners to peace and love within the family circle. And then I mentioned third, loyalty. Loyalty to a companion through thick and thin. This will develop a basic character trait so strong that loyalty to the church and true principles will follow just as naturally as night follows the day. The law of chastity is one of the Ten Commandments. This demands loyalty in marriage. Brothers and sisters, protect this sacred principle as though your life depended upon it, because gospel truth confirms that your eternal life most certainly does depend upon fidelity in your marriage. The scriptures confirm the eternal truth that marriage is ordained of God. And then this: neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man. And according to a prophet of this dispensation, God not only commends, but He commands marriage. while man was yet immortal, before sin had entered the world, our Heavenly Father himself performed the first marriage. He united our first parents in the bonds of holy matrimony and commanded them to multiply and replenish the earth. This command he has never changed, abrogated, or annulled, but it has continued in force throughout all generations of mankind. Mark confirms, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Now, brothers and sisters, every divorce in the church affects the work of the kingdom adversely. There needs to be greater effort on the part of each companion threatened by divorce. There needs to be more counseling, not only one with another, but also with appropriate priesthood leaders. There needs to be more universal understanding about the eternal nature of the marriage covenant. Time and experience has proven that unselfishness is the key to a successful marriage. For you see, unselfishness welcomes reasoning together. Unselfishness insists on an extra mile effort. Unselfishness paves the way for family financial security. Unselfishness stops divorce. And don't you agree that perhaps the most important questions that will need to be answered by a divorced person in the hereafter will be these? Number one, did you do everything possible to save your marriage? Number two, were gospel truths applied to the fullest? And thirdly, did you seek out, listen to, and abide by priesthood counsel? May he bless us to regard every marriage as an act ordained of God, for as President Joseph F. Smith said, it is the hope of the human race. And these thoughts I leave with you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.